Well, it's 4:01, and like I always like to say, time for my favorite segment on KXCI, the classic pick of the week. I always say the problem with streaming services is lack of liner notes. Well, normally Chris Carey would be in, but today we have a special guest. Amy A., one of our KXCI DJs, is coming to join us. Amy, thanks for coming in.
I am so happy to be here, Casey.
And so what? Tell us about our classic pick.
All right. So Chris Carey and I went back and forth on the selection for today, and I offered a whole bunch of international women artists and eventually settled on Sister Nancy of Jamaica with her release 1-2 out in 1982. And we're going to be playing tracks at 4 o'clock all week this week in honor of International Women's Day, which is coming up this coming weekend. So 1-2 was originally issued on vinyl only, and it was recorded in a studio in Kingston, Jamaica called Channel One. And the house musicians at Channel One were Sly and Robbie, right? Yeah. Everyone knows Sly and Robbie. And the producer was Winston Riley, who, shall we say, could be considered sketchy. And you'll find out more information about that as we go through today's classic pick information. But he was renowned at coaxing breakthrough performances of unproven artists such as Sister Nancy, Buju Banton, Cuddy Rink, Lone Ranger, Frankie Paul, to name a few. And he gained some money from his production and the proceeds and sample fees too. He collected sample fees from albums that he produced. And he built his own studio in Kingston on Orange Street and also established a museum there, which was firebombed.
For some reason, the Jamaican music scene in the 70s and 80s sounded like it was about as tough and scary as the rap scene in the East and West Coast were.
Well, so Kingston, Duncan and I were talking about this. Kingston had violence to begin with, but I think Winston Riley was really involved in probably stuff that we don't know about, but it certainly was sketchy. And he was shot and stabbed and robbed and then eventually died by gunshot. So, you know, clearly he might be mixing with some people that would get him killed. But anyway, to his credit, he found Sister Nancy. Now, Sister Nancy, her real name is Ophelan Russell, and she was born on the 2nd of January, 1962, and is dance hall DJ. Now, a dance hall DJ is not a DJ like you and I, yeah. Right? A dance hall DJ is really a vocalist that is speaking or intoning over a beat, a musical beat that's given to her either by a house band or someone like you and I on the decks, right? And she was born in Kingston and one of 15 siblings, if you can believe that. And her household was very conservative, and she totally rebelled against that. She followed her brother Jerry, who she credits as one of her main inspirations and supporters. And he was DJing and going to the dance hall scene. And she just like followed him to the dance hall, and she was rebelling against this conservative household. And she literally followed this other DJ, Junior Chalice, around Jamaica and St. Thomas, and then followed him so much that he gave her a chance to DJ her own portion of a dance hall, and she was literally only 15 or 16 wow. at the time. And then by 18, she was so well known, she recorded her first single, Papa Dean.
It's kind of like a lot of artists. She kind of got a chance. It sounds like it's a very improvisational form of music. They kind of just get up there and get started and get going. Sounds like she put in a few years and really developed her skills.
Yeah, she's also known for like commanding a dance hall. She had a presence that like her brother did not have. Her presence. She immediately took the mic and was like, I'm Sister Nancy, you know? And the other thing about dance hall is the DJs really promote this like meditative vibe. You know, you're coming after work, you had a long day of hard work, and you're going to this dance hall, and this DJ is lifting you up out of that. And she was able to do that for a lot of people in Jamaica and really dominated the scene for the better part of 20 years.
Kind of a reggae rave.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. She was performed at Reggae Sunsplash, the first female DJ ever to perform there. She was the first female DJ to tour internationally. I mean, she was a force in the early 80s there. And then she released 1-2, right? And that did not play very well in Jamaica. It went overseas, like in England, it really caught on. Here in the States, it caught on. But she literally says, you know, in interviews, she's really only heard it on the radio once.
Wow.
In Jamaica. And you will recognize it. Definitely, there's another song out there, Bomb Bomb, that you would recognize by Toots and the Maytals. So it's a nod to that, obviously. So it's not the only one out there.
Yeah, it's incredible that the acts from Jamaica have had such an incredible influence outside of the island, from, you know, England to everything in the United States, from, you know, punk rock and hip hop and whatnot. I'm kind of curious. I've never personally been there. I don't know if the music is as popular there as it is outside of the country.
Yeah, dancehall definitely is, and reggae is. Dancehall's hugely popular. Back to Sister Nancy. She's 23. She gets married. And this is 1985 now. So she was rebelling against this sort of home life, sort of conservative home life thing. But she ends up getting married. And she says she takes a break from the scene for a few years, allowing other women to come into the scene. And she's very sort of feminist in this way. She wants to promote other female acts. And a lot of people attribute, even the artists themselves, attribute Sister Nancy for blazing the way for new female acts from Jamaica, including Lady Saw, Sister Carol, Maka Diamond, Lady G. And I would argue there's a new Jamaican artist that we've been playing. Elvis been playing. Her name's Coffee. And she reminds me a lot of Sister Nancy. She's a young dancehall DJ, really commanding voice.
Yeah, it's one thing to be influential, but it's another thing to kind of also mentor people.
Yeah, and blaze the way. Like, she was the first, and everyone was like, yeah, this is, we can do this. And it's freed them from this sort of repressive sexuality, repressive family plan that people were expected, and these female dancehall DJs could be free in all of things up there as what they're doing in their career. So Sister Nancy, at age 34 now, she sort of plays on and off in Jamaica. She's still very respected. But in 1996, she's 34 and she moves to New Jersey and sort of gives up the life mostly and becomes a bank accountant.
No kidding.
I know, right? I couldn't believe it. And you know, at this point, we could think, is this all for Sister Nancy? But no, no, it's not.
If it's in your blood, it's in your blood.
And so the song, which is the well-known song off this disc, which we'll be playing on Friday, is Bomb Bomb. And Bomb Bomb off Sister Nancy's album 1-2 was sampled so many times over the years that it's in the running for one of the most sampled songs ever. You know, you can make a case over 100 times. And people have either interpolated or sampled Bomb Bomb. And I'll just note some really notable ones over the years. Lauryn Hill, the song Lost Ones. And I knew I liked that song, but now I know
where it came
from. Why? Because, you know, what the bomb bomb. You know, Lauryn Hill is clearly referencing that song in her song Lost Ones off The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And who doesn't love Lauryn Hill, right? One of the most famous electronic songs to sample Bomb Bomb and is sometimes referred to as a remix of Sister Nancy songs is Waterman by Olav Basowski. So those of you who are electric field junkies, you know, that's one for you. Kanye West featuring Rihanna sample Bomb Bomb on their song Famous from the Life of Pablo. Beyonce used a sample of Bomb Bomb on Lemonade. Jay-Z sampled Bomb Bomb.
I think Sister Nancy is a terrific example of an artist where I don't know off the top of my head, but I actually know a whole bunch of her songs.
You do? Yeah. Like, you know her. She's infused into, like, Lizzo in her 2017 song Truth Hurts sampled Sister Nancy. So you know it in your DNA. And so Sister Nancy really was unaware of all the success and all the sampling. And the producer kept her in the dark. dark. Winston Riley kept her in the dark, and he kept all the proceeds.
Of course.
When he died, they passed on to his son, and his sons then sold the rights to the record and all of that to a company in England. And let's see.
The business of music. It'll drive all musicians away.
Yeah. And then, so she's toiling away at the bank as an accountant. And in 2014, she's sitting in her living room at home, and she hears Bomb Bomb on a Reebok commercial. And that was it. She was like, that's it. This song is so popular. I need to really take measures. So she says in an interview, she contacted her sistren, which is a Rastafarian term for the sisters in the scene, and they contacted her with a lawyer, and she sued for rights, and she actually was unable to get rights for the full 32 years, but she did get proceeds from the sampling and the album for the last 10, and then 50% of the proceeds going forward, which, yay,
it's amazing, because you hear so many horror stories for somebody to actually come back. And it sounded like for years she never even really understood the influence that she had until all of this came around. I wouldn't doubt if that would inspire her to come back and make some more music.
And she says, I just want to do music. She just enjoyed it. She wasn't in it for the money, but people were making money off her back, and that sort of eventually became just too much. So here's the thing. Since Sister Nancy made so much after that ruling that she was able to retire from the bank, and she is back. She's back touring. And I even found a few dates of her playing in California in, I believe it's April.
That's amazing.
And I just am so, I'm thrilled for her. I'm thrilled for this story. And I hope she just makes music forever and ever.
It's great. It's incredible that there's so many people like this in the history of music that inspired the big name artists that we all know. And so much of their music comes from it. But it's really amazing to come back and revisit and really give credit to the people where credit's due.
Yeah. So Sister Nancy, I'm just so pleased with this story of retribution. And I think it's perfect for International Women's Day. Not in the sense that she was put out of the proceeds, but that she came back strong and she is not down. She is still at it, and she's able to pursue music again and really advocated for herself. And she inspired a lot of people and continues to. And she's got a lot of great tracks on this album. I recommended today we play the very first track, which is 1-2, which is the title track of the album. And imagine this. Just set this up. Like I said, you've had a long, hard work day, and you're ready to just dance it off with a little meditative vibe, and you go to this open air. It's sort of a Ramada in Jamaica, and the ocean breeze, and little twinkly lights, and a table set up with some records and stuff, and Sister Nancy comes out, and she starts the dance hall with 1-2, which is the track we'll play.
Well, that sounds great. Amy A., thank you so much for coming in and tell us about Sister Nancy, our classic pick of the week. Well, here she is, Sister Nancy with 1-2.